Bible out and follow along, you're more than welcome. If not, we're going to have it up on the screens for you. But we're going to just look at Jesus' birth in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and we're going to kind of just run through a very quick overview of kind of some highlighted things that hopefully you can take with you and maybe utilize it to just challenge yourself or pick something up new maybe that you didn't realize or didn't maybe think about with Christmas and all of the confusion and chaos that the world tends to turn Christmas into. We can go back to the reason why this is called the greatest story that was ever told. And it all starts with the redemption, that there's not a one of us that's walked this earth or that sits in this room or does anything to do with any church or any building or anything that doesn't need a Savior and doesn't need Jesus Christ. And it comes down to the reason why we're all sitting here together tonight with our families and our friends, and it's to acknowledge that God sent His only Son from a perfect environment in heaven to come be born a baby just to save sorry sinners like me. So if you want to, we'll just bow our head, and we're going to just open the class up here quick with a word of prayer, and we'll get going. Father, we just thank you again for the opportunity to just speak of you and learn about you. We just thank you for always being faithful and showing us your mercy and your love when we don't deserve it, and we are so far from where we need to be in your presence, but yet you allow us that passageway by sending your Son down on this earth to die on a cross for our sins. We just pray this morning or this afternoon as we're in here that the Holy Spirit may run rampant through this building and up here as we talk and learn about you. But with the kids, we just pray that you calm their nerves and calm their little butterflies in their bellies as they're going to stand up here and stand in front of people and just speak and do things that aren't normal to them. So we just pray that you give them the courage to do that. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So if you want to, you can follow along. We're just going to the birth of Jesus, which there's probably nobody sitting in here that hasn't heard of some story of the birth of Jesus. So we're just going to look at Matthew, and we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 18, and if you want to follow along. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's it. We can be done. That's the simplicity of it. That is the whole point of why Jesus Christ was born a baby. It was to give us a passageway, give us a Savior between us and God. We can't do it, being sinners. The nature, the being of who God is, being all perfect, is not able to be even in the presence of sin. Well, we all don't have the choice. We were all born sinners, clear back from the original sin of Adam. So we say, well, God, if you are faithful, and you are loving, and you are kind, and you have mercy upon all this stuff, why did you create a people that aren't able to be with you? And this is Christmas. That is what he did. That is the birth of Jesus Christ. By sacrificing his Son, sending him down here for us, it gives us that opportunity for us to make a decision that only you can make yourself and only I can make for myself. That if I accept the fact that I am a sinner and I cannot be in the presence of God without a passageway or without that link being connected, it does me no good. And that missing link, that connection, is Jesus Christ. So all it takes, the simplicity of all it takes, is me accepting the fact I can't do it and I need somebody to do it for me. And that's Jesus Christ. That's the simplicity of it. That is why Jesus Christ was born a baby. That's why he came on this earth. That's why he walked on this earth for 30-some-odd years. That's why he was beaten, spit upon, nailed to a cross, crucified, and buried, and then rose again, conquering death, beating death, giving us that passageway to be in heaven and all eternity in the presence of God. That's it. That is the simplicity of it. That is how cool it is that we don't have to work for it. We don't have to try to be good people. We don't have to pay money. We don't have to do anything. It's what Christmas is all about. Jesus is that sacrifice. Nothing that we can do. It's Jesus. He's standing in the gap. So verse 22, now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And I think a lot of times we don't focus on that. We try to do things ourselves, salvation being one of them many of the times. We try to do it ourselves. We try to earn our way into heaven. We try to be good enough. We try to do this. We try to do that. But it's God with us. It's the fact that do we realize when we wake up every day that we are children of God, we are a child of God, that we house, our bodies are a temple for God, that He is with us. Verse 24, and Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. So have you ever heard to be a, not just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word? It's a good thing Joseph was a doer. Because he heard that, and he acted upon it. He did what the angel of the Lord said. He married Mary. Instead of just saying, whoa. I mean, put guys, we can put ourselves in that position of Joseph and say, all right, here I am supposed to get married to this gal, and all of a sudden she comes to you and she says that she's knocked up. I mean, put yourself in that guy's shoes, for real. I mean, your brain would be, you'd want to do the farthest thing you could do. You'd say, okay, you're gone, I'm going to leave you. Obviously, you're not honest with me, you're not whatever. But look what he does. He hears God say, pump the brakes, hang on. This is why. This is part of my plan. This is what I'm doing. Verse 25. But kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. They were paying attention. They were aware of their surroundings. Did you see that they saw the star? The magi came to them saying, hey, we saw this star. We saw this star. We know that that's for the king of the Jews. Where's he at? King Herod wasn't even paying attention. When we read on, that he didn't even know, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod and the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. The Magi were paying attention, and Herod was clueless about it. Now here's the question. Are we paying attention to that star, to that bright shining light? Or are we too busy and wrapped up in what the world devises as Christmas? And we'll just use Christmas as an example because that's what we're here for. But all of the party and the gifts, the family time, that's all good, right? God gives us life to be able to enjoy with one another and bless one another and be with one another and enjoy each other. But are we distracted and throw it one more level and go to your day-to-day life? Are we too busy? Are we too focused on the things of this world that we're not noticing the Savior? That light that's shining so bright, do we notice that? The world, when it says all of Jerusalem, that was Herod and all Jerusalem, the world was stirred up. Jesus will stir things up because darkness can have no part in light. See, this world does not understand the light of Jesus Christ. Doesn't understand it. Because darkness can have nothing to do with light. The evil, the wrongdoings, the things that we turn on our TV or look at or whatever our news feeds are and look at all that stuff and the evil that runs rampant in this world that we just don't understand why it is and what it does and how it happens. That's the darkness. The light is Jesus Christ. And the darkness will never overcome the light. The Bible tells us that. Jesus Christ, by raising from the dead, when we turn around and we celebrate Easter, is when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He beat death. That sealed the story. That put a period at the end of the story. It's over and it can't be changed. It's already done and over with. It's conquered. Light overpowered the darkness. So the beginning step in the redemption plan was Jesus being born. You look at the Magi and the star. They saw the star. They went to find it. They seeked after it. And as we're going to see, they found that star. With us, with Jesus, in our life, we need to see him. We need to find him. And we need to seek him. And that has to be part of our everyday plan and walk that we do. Otherwise, all we're doing is stumbling around in the darkness. The star is Jesus' light shining. His light shines bright enough that we'll see it from any direction or any place or any situation that you're in, no matter how dark that seems. No matter the dark hole that you're in or the darkness that you experience, that light will always be able to be seen, because the darkness cannot overcome the light. Are we looking for the light of Jesus, or are we blinded by the darkness that we choose not to remove in front of our own face? That's a real question. As those Magi's were following that star and looking and focusing on that star, and they were walking the thousands and the thousands of miles to where this baby king was at, which by the time they found him, he was probably almost 2 years old, which is funny. That's how long it took them to get there and walk and get there. Do you think that they did not encounter darkness on their trails and on their walks to find that baby, to find that king, to fall on their knees and to worship him? That's our life too. Do you think that our life is not going to have some struggles and some darkness and things? That's part of life. We all know that. We'd all be lying if we'd say our lives are perfect. But that star is what gives us hope. That light shining is what gives us hope. Jesus Christ is what's meant to give us hope. That's the whole part of the birth of Jesus Christ. It's for hope. It's the good news. That's what it is. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. When somebody says that it's the good news, I want to share with you the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, why is it good news? Have you ever asked? Have you ever thought of that? It's good news because we know how it ends and we know what we have waiting for us in eternity if we accept him as our Savior. Then this world doesn't matter. Is this world still hard? Is it tough? Is there things that are going to challenge us? You darn right there is. But is it doable because we know the end of the story? We have that hope sitting there, that light shining, that light that Jesus Christ is reflecting to guide us. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time that the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. Remember that when it says report to me, because we're going to get to there and we're going to see why they didn't report to him. What is fast forward? You ever heard the story when it goes into this? It's actually in verse 16, that when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. These Magi, when Herod told them, report back to me. When you find this king, report back to me. Because he didn't want to go worship him. Obviously, you've seen what his plans was in verse 16. Those Magi had an opportunity to either walk in the will of God or walk out of the will of God. Look at how by them staying focused, focusing on Jesus Christ and the king, what decision that allowed them to make. Because that would have been a very bad thing. If they wouldn't have if they would have reported back to Herod, look at how that would have ended up. Verse 9, after hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell into the ground, and they worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented him to the kings, the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why did they rejoice? Why do we rejoice? Why do we rejoice on Christmas? Because we get presents? Because we get time with our family? Because we get people that we don't get to see, we get them together? Why do we rejoice? Why is Christmas such a good time? It doesn't matter what you do for a living. Work is always gets kind of fun this time of year, right around Christmas, between New Year's and Christmas. Why is that? Why are we rejoicing? Is it because of the baby that was in the manger? Is it because of the God that sent his only son for us? So we can rejoice knowing that this earth isn't the only one that we're going to walk. This life isn't the only one that we're going to have. Because, admit it, if this life was it, would it really be that intriguing? If this life was all we got? Not for me. I want more than this. I want eternity. And that's why we can rejoice at Jesus Christ being born. Is because of that, we get all eternity forever. No more sickness, no more health issues, no more death, no more whatever bodily issues you think you have, or no matter whatever there is, it's all gone. Heaven is a perfect place. And you get to be perfect bodily form for all eternity, for the rest of time. But there's one person up there that won't be in a perfect body. And that's a little baby that 30-some years later was hanging on that cross, that will have the scars in his hands, that will have the scars on his head from the thorns of the crowns. And we'll get to see that for all eternity, knowing that he left and did what he did so we could spend all eternity in perfectness with him. All because he left heaven and was willing to come down and be a baby born on this earth. The Magi were experts in stars. They knew their job and did it well. They stuck with what they were to be doing, and the light of Jesus guided them throughout every situation on their walk to the destination they were to be at. Jesus is our light and our guide. Number one, we need to know him. You need to ask yourself, do you know him? Number two, know where to find him. You need to ask yourself if you know where to find him. Do you know where to find him? Number three, know what to do when you find him. Do you know what to do when you find Jesus? In 11 it says, what did they do when they found him? They fell to the ground and they worshipped him. Falling to the ground on their knees, they surrendered. That's our only thing we have to do to be able to be in his presence in eternity, is surrender. Surrender ourselves. That's it. It's that easy. And we look at that and say, this life, this world is way too crazy. Things are not that easy in this world. But that's just there. That's just putting your mind to distract you. That's all it takes. Surrender yourself and say, God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And that Savior was that little baby that was born in that manger that hung on that cross for me and died for me and rose 3 days later and up out of that grave and conquered death. That is it. If you make that decision and you surrender that, you will be in eternity in his presence forever. That's all it takes. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. It's that simple. Verse 12, and having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Sometimes finding Jesus will require you to take an alternate route. That's true. That's reality. The route may be far different from the way that you may have come. The place that brought you to your knees of surrendering may look far different than what it looks like when you get up off your knees and you continue on your walk. It's time to surrender and leave that lifestyle. Leave whatever it is, that sin, that separation that you may have that you've never turned yourself over to Jesus Christ. Walk away from it. Go a different route, just like these Magi. They went a different route. Your life can be different in a good way. Does that mean you have to be a monk sitting on a hill praying all day long? It's not what it is. John 10:10 says that Jesus come to give us life and give us life abundantly. And then that's what we're doing. Look at this. You can't say that this isn't abundant. Look at all the food we eat for Christmas. Look at all the gifts that we get. Look at all the time we get to enjoy with one another. We get to sit in a nice building with lights and heat and be comfortable. That's abundant life. God allows us to enjoy them things. The world hates Jesus, and they hate him because he is true to everything that he says. He's faithful. He forgives. He shows kindness. He shows mercy. He is selfless. And it makes no sense to the self-righteous, self-seeking people of this world. It's hard for them to see the light. But that's what all of us are to do. As children of God, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help one another see that light of Jesus. We're supposed to help one another, if it's just falling off the wagon, and get back on track, start going to church again, start reading your Bible again, have some accountability. That's what we're supposed to do for one another. He calls us to reflect his light upon and out throughout the darkness so others can experience the nature of who he is. Just as he left the all-perfect environment of heaven for you, he did it for those who don't know who he is. And Christmas is a great time to reflect upon that. When we're sitting with our families and we're with the people that we love, we should be concerned with the fate of their eternity. If we truly love somebody, how can I sit across from the table and eat supper and enjoy my company, but not be concerned about where they're going to spend all eternity? Christmas gives us an awesome opportunity to do that. It gives us an awesome time to be able to sit with one another and talk with one another. I mean, what else do you do? You go eat, and the kids go run around and they play, and I mean, you sit there and you'd be miserable because you ate too much. You just as well talk about something. So, the biggest thing with Christmas, and I think the kids are ready to come up here, is that as you lay down in your bed tonight and you lay your head on your pillow, you need to ask yourself if you've surrendered to Jesus Christ. Have you surrendered yourself to who he is? We have one shot in this life, one opportunity to be able to do that. There's no do-overs. And if he left that perfect environment in heaven to come down being born as a baby, think of the humility difference that took. Don't we at least owe it to him to think about it? So, we'll just close here quick in prayer, and then we'll get the kids up here. Father, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you, as we just talked so much about, we just thank you for truly sending your son down to heaven to die for us sinners who we don't deserve it, who we don't deserve to be in your presence, but yet you give us that passage, you give us that way. I just ask that the Holy Spirit may continue to nudge on all of us to be able to make that decision, to be able to make that step just to surrender over to you. And just pray that you give us an opportunity to enjoy our families, and just thank you for giving us time to enjoy our families and friends these next couple days. In your son's name we pray. Amen.